Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive. We call it Happy Thanksgiving around here. Everybody is getting a whatever the seasonal jam is for you. If it's pumpkin pie, if it's mincemeat pie, if it's a colonoscopy at GBMC so you feel better about yourself and you're cleansed and the polyps have been removed and all of that stuff. My thanks to my GBMC team for keeping me together and helping me avoid colon cancer. I had a precancerous polyp removed on Friday. My thanks to Dr. Oscari, everybody, Christine, everybody at GBMC who's been so kind to me, including all the nurses and doctors on Friday. But I'm back up and running. The Ravens have won a football game. That's five in a row. They're going to play another game in a blink, in a minute on Thursday night. It's Thanksgiving, and we're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, including at Dee Pasquale's, where my wife wanted. Luke, they told me that I needed more fiber in my diet. And Jen said, "Well, I'm going to make some sausage and lentil soup." And I'm like, "We're going to get down at Dee Pasquale." So next thing you know, I walk out, and December 11th, we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour there, presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch offs to give away. I might even have the candy cane scented tickets to give away. Although this Ravens batch has been a pretty lucky batch for second chances, amongst other things. Also, we're going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be at Costas for the holidays. And I'm working on a new spot called Honey's out in Halethorpe. I'll have a date for that by the time we get to Thanksgiving. Luke's going to have Thanksgiving early with mom and sis and nieces and brother-in-laws and brother and all that stuff up in Pennsylvania. And he will be making his way to downtown Baltimore on Thursday night, where 68,000 others will be celebrating. Maybe Joe Burrow, maybe Joe Flacco, but certainly there'll be turducken involved. And the winners of five in a row, Baltimore Ravens, taking on the Bengals. And I talk about the Bengals defense stinking, and I'm sure we will talk about that here. And we've talked about Lamar's injury for an hour, and we're going to continue to talk about that until such point he looks like Lamar again. Ravens defense. Where are we with that? And I'm guessing T. Higgins isn't going to play because I saw he completely banged his head in the last 5 minutes of the game on Sunday. The Joe Burrow thing appears as though we think he's going to play. We don't know. By the time you hear this, you might know. But our defense and where we are with Kyle Hamilton. And as much as we focus on Lamar, Kyle Hamilton's not right. That's not good for the Ravens.
It certainly isn't, and we're gonna have to see about that one. I mean, it obviously hurt his ankle late in that game. He didn't go back in with it was probably at the 2 minute warning. He walked into the locker room. He was walking gingerly. There's no question about that, and it's a short week, right? In the same way that you mentioned T. Higgins, I mean, the path in this day and age of clearing concussion protocol in a matter of 3 or 4 days,
Not happening.
that's not happening. I
Minute
mean
he hit
that.
his head, I'm like, he's not playing. And you know what? My wife, when Kyle Hamilton got hurt, she's like, he ain't playing Thursday night. I
Oh,
mean, just looking at it, that you just said, he ain't playing Thursday night.
I'm not ready to count him out yet, because how many times have we seen Kyle Hamilton go into the blue tent over the last couple of years? I mean, think back to, I think it was against the Bengals in that Thursday night game last year. Remember, he went down and you were kind of fearing the worst. It looked like in real time, like it could be an Achilles, and he was back in the game in a matter of a few plays. So he does seem to be someone who gets banged up, but then is right back in
Let's get
there.
that
We'll
Ben
see.
Roethlisberger
Yeah,
toughness.
something like that. But you mentioned it. I mean, you talk about this defense, and look, I get it. Tua Tagovailoa, J.J. McCarthy, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, after not ha practicing with the first team since training camp, right? And Tyrod Taylor on Sunday. This isn't a juggernaut slate of opponents that they've faced here in recent weeks. There's no question about that. However, let me throw some numbers out there to you. 41, 38, 37, 44. Those were the point totals they allowed in four of their first five games. Now, I don't care if it's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud. That
You're going to lose a lot of those games, probably four out of five.
unacceptable, right? Unacceptable. Since then, however, 17, 16, 6, 19, 16, and 10 on Sunday. Those are the point totals they've allowed over their last six games, and they've made improvement. There's no doubt about that. And we've talked about it. And Kyle Hamilton, it begins there, right? Because the Elohi Gilman acquisition allowed them to move Hamilton. We don't need to rehash that too much, but we've seen what that impact looks like on an every down basis now, where you're looking to see where Kyle Hamilton is. I joked at BaltimorePositive.com as I was doing my putting together my 12 Ravens thoughts, my prediction piece going into Sunday's game. And there was actually an instance on Thursday where Hamilton had sat out Wednesday's practice, with that shoulder issue that, we still saw him have some issues with on Sunday. He's banged up right now. There's no question about that. That he's certainly another guy that whether he plays Thursday night or not, this mini bye is going to be helpful for him because he's banged up, with a few different injuries right now. But it was Thursday's practice. We had seen he had returned to the field. They go after they do their special teams opening portion, which is the bulk of what we watch as reporters. They go into positional work, right? So that, the defensive backs go one place, the linebackers go play one place, the edge guys, the defensive line, and obviously same thing with the offensive positions. But you looked out there at the defensive backs, Kyle Hamilton wasn't there. So at first I'm thinking, wait, was he only out here for a little while and then he went back in? Was it just a case where he did 15 minutes of work and didn't feel right and went back in? No, he was working with the linebackers on Thursday during that portion of practice, and it just speaks to the versatility. So clearly that's made a big impact. Alohi Gilman has played very well. Tackling issues aside, he's not the best tackler in the world. I think we've seen that, but he certainly has made a positive impact, and I get it. They isolated him in coverage on the Mechie touchdown on 3rd and 10, so that wasn't ideal, but your defense isn't going to be perfect, right? But it's been so much better. And the other one, of course, has been Draymond Jones and his arrival. A batted pass on a 3rd down, 1.5 sacks. We're seeing him show up, whether he's rushing from the edge. He gives him some ability to, some inside-outside versatility where he can slide to, three technique, four technique kind of spot and rush from the interior, which is, the kind of thing that they haven't had, since Madubuike's injury, right? I mean, Travis Jones has played well for that group, but in terms of having a more consistent pass rush, we've talked about that a lot. We'll continue to talk about that. But I think we are seeing a better pass rush than we were seeing. It showed up at some times where they needed it to
Yeah,
on
I keep
Thursday.
saying where are they going to be when they're playing the Patriots and the Packers and
Yeah,
the
I
Steelers
mean,
at the end and being a playoff team and winning the division, which we're predicting they're going to do. Like, we think they're going to win games. We think they're going to be playing games in early January. And then it's going to be what's the pass rush like on that night? When
sure.
Patrick Mahomes comes in here or Josh Allen comes in here or whatever. Because it sort of looks like it's going to be down that road. I mean, and it's I would just say for their defense and for where the ceiling we believe the ceiling can be with a healthy Kyle Hamilton up on the line with all of that. I don't know that we're going to see that anytime soon. And I don't know, to your point, that Hamilton's not healthy and that Roquan Smith's coming back a little bit, that Marlon Humphrey, peanut punch aside, is not what he was. But Wiggins, Starks, Buchanan, Travis Jones, they have some emerging players, not named Madubuike, that are still out there performing better over the last 5 weeks than they did the first 5 weeks. No doubt about
Yeah,
that.
well, and in the case, and we'll start with Nate Wiggins, and I'll start with him because, man, he's going to be thinking about that interception he could have had on the opening drive. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that when you drop that one. But, he's the guy that, with a couple exceptions this year, even early in the season, he was probably their best player the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, which I know was not saying much because their defense was horrible, but you were seeing him play pretty well. And you're seeing him as an ascending player. I mean, you mentioned Teddy Buchanan is certainly someone who, from the first 4 or 5 games of the season till now, has improved leaps and bounds to the point where, I'm not saying he's going to become a star, but I feel like you can trust him being out there in
Well, you're the team
more spots than
historian. I mean,
not.
name the last 10 guys that have played that position going back 15 years and how many failures they've had there, how many draft picks that they've tried that. I mean, the reason they dealt for Roquan Smith is because they kept failing. I mean, we talk about DaCosta, and there's a name that we haven't brought up, but Alohi Gilman, Draymond Joe. I mean, they've done their job in season, as we wait on Mike Elias to do his job off season, but sort of like where the deficiencies were, and when Madubuike went down, and Roquan was hurt, and on and on and on, they made the additions where almost like they were listening to our radio show. Where on Monday, we're like, hey, man, like Safety position, not good enough, not good enough. You said that for months. You said that the day after Ardarius Washington went down, that they weren't going to be good enough on the back end. And took them 3, 4 weeks into the season to do it. It took them a pass rusher that, I don't know, we never noticed much in Odafe Owe to make it happen. Failed draft pick, kind of, sort of, I guess. I don't know for what it was. And the moving parts of their personnel and their ability to coach them up. And we were all firing Zach Orr and Pagano couldn't do it and all of that. Nobody's going anywhere. Just like I wrote that day. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's getting fired. Everybody's hold on. And here we are. And they're in first place, above 500, all of that. And it hasn't been perfect by far. They haven't solved all their problems, but I think they've went and got some plaster of Paris and some glue and put some pieces back together to at least put themselves in a position to be in the position they're in, which, dude, not an awful position. They're not,
No.
for as bad as it's been, and for Lamar not being right, and Kyle, their two best football players are hurt. And they're in first place, and they got to go play Thursday with or without him, maybe with the commercial king, Tyler Huntley, who knows, against Cincinnati. But they're in a great position to win a Super Bowl. They are. But then they have really good players. They have all these names we're talking about. If some of those guys start showing up in January, the Zay Flowers, the Mark Andrews, the Derrick Henrys, the Lamar Jacksons, the Roquan Smiths, the Kyle Hamm, how many Pro Bowlers am I naming here? How many Hall of Famers am I naming here? I don't know.
I mean, that's been nothing new since
DeAndre Hopkins.
2019. Yeah,
Well,
I
they
mean,
have that ability. They come with that chin strap. That's why they're playing on Thanksgiving night, right? Because they have all of this star power, and they're a little disappointing. You'd rather them be 8-4 or, whatever it would be. They might be 7-5. They will be 7-5 by midnight on Thursday night. So, okay. So they're not 8-4. They're not 9-3. They're not 10-2, but they're going to win the division.
we think. I think so. I'm not ready to say that that's over, though. I mean, we've talked a lot about the offense, but let's, to keep it on the defense. Defense is better. There's no doubt about that. Look, it's tough to sit here and say that I'm buying that it's this elite, one of the very best top three or top five defenses in football with the changes they've made. And I know a lot of people will cite their stats. I mean, I know the Ravens put in their game release. And look, I mean, it's interesting nonetheless when you consider the first five games were the worst five-game start in the history of the franchise, even worse than 1996. But, since week eight, and this was going into Sunday's game, they were first in the league with only three offensive touchdowns allowed. They were first in third down defense, first in passer rating allowed, first in touchdown passes allowed. Go down the list. I mean, they were first or second in a slew of categories. Going back to coming out of the bye in week eight, which is a small sample, but it's five games now, right? I mean, it's a third of a season, a little under a third of a season at this point in time. That's, that sample's as big as what, the first five or six games was. So they've certainly made improvements and they've obviously changed the makeup. They had an in-season facelift when you're talking about Gilman and what that meant for moving Kyle Hamilton around. Draymond Jones, for as much as there was talk about, getting one of the Miami edge rushers or, getting Quinnen Williams from the Jets or go down the list of any number of other moves that could or could have been made or moves that never came to fruition with any team trading for some of those guys. They've done dealt well with Draymond Jones. I mean, not saying he's tr prime
He
Terrell
made the team
Suggs,
better.
but he's
And it
made an
doesn't matter
impact.
that it wasn't better in September. It only matters that it's going to be good enough in January.
Well, and that's where the question still lies. I mean, in terms of what they've done, they haven't gone up against great offenses here. They haven't. I'm not going to sit here and say that, doing what they did against JJ McCarthy or Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders or Tyrod Taylor is necessarily going to be an accurate litmus test on what they'll do against Josh Allen or Mahomes or even Drake May or CJ Stroud or go down the list of whoever they might face in January, Bo Nix. So there's still, what Indianapolis does. I mean, not so much Daniel Jones, but Jonathan Taylor and what that can look like.
But could this defense go into Denver, into Indianapolis, or into New England and win a game in the second week of January? Sure.
Yeah, but
Especially if Lamar's
well, and
healthier.
that's where we still look at this thing. So, as they're presently constructed, with how their
Could they
offense
win
is,
three in a row right now? No, I don't.
I
They're too banged
yeah.
up right now. I agree with that. That
Well,
this would be a
and just
wrong
their,
time for the playoffs to come right now for
and they're
them. I
banged up,
agree.
and their offense just hasn't been good. Their offense hasn't been good in a while now. And it's not just the Lamar thing. I mean,
Practicing on Wednesday in the way that like that we've already learned that. So that part of it where
their
they're
offensive
trying to
line,
get better.
right, but their offensive line's not good enough. I mean, it's just not. And that's where I even look at this thing and say, okay, if you can somehow get Lamar playing, healthy, get Lamar very, very close to being 100%, is this offensive line still going to be good enough? Because, going back to your point you made in a previous segment, I mean, their offense hasn't looked like that Ferrari version of this offense for even close to a full game since Buffalo until the last 8 minutes of that game, right? I mean, it's like at that point, the offense just
Well, the
was
first three
broken.
quarters of the season it justified everything we talked about for 9 months about it being a Ferrari. And since then, it's been a broken Ferrari. I don't think it's still not a Ferrari. I've seen, I'm the guy that said Derrick Henry would bring them to the promised land. Say Flowers is a real guy. Bateman, if they can get him on the field. Andrews, Isaiah Likely, they have these weapons, right? When they put Ricard in there as a bowling ball, it feels like they could do anything they want. It feels like they should be at second and two all day, and they're not anymore. And until they get that thing going, to your point, and you don't think they are because you think the offensive line's incapable of that because we're 9 games into seeing that it's incapable of that.
Yeah, so you look at that and then flip it over to the defense and say, okay, what is this defense going to be against tougher competition? And we're going to get a much better picture of that starting Thursday night, assuming, I think Burrow's going to play. Yeah, there'll be some rust, and you can provide those caveats, right? And they're not going to have T. Higgins most likely, but they're going to have a Ja'Marr Chase who's going to, I would assume, be very motivated and kind of embarrassed and wanting to show what he can do in a national spotlight, when everyone's been talking about how awful it was to see him spit on somebody, which it was, right? I mean, one game suspension there was absolutely warranted for that. But you also know he's one of the very best football players on the planet. And if you don't have Kyle Hamilton out there, then that changes the dynamics of your secondary considerably, right? And we saw what Chase did against the Ravens last year. I mean, Chase almost single-handedly sent Marcus Williams to the bench for good, right? I mean, when you go back and look at how that played out last year. So I think for me, it's yes, this defense is so much better and playing well, playing at a high level, albeit against lesser competition. So what will that look like when the competition ramps up here in the month of December? Playing Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, of course, doesn't have a great offense, but they're going to be playing New England. Green Bay on the road, high pressure, right? Can you pressure the quarterback? Can you do the things that you need to do? And can they continue to do the heaviest lifting, right? I mean, they won on the back of their defense and their special teams on Sunday. They won on the back largely of their defense 2 weeks ago in Cleveland, right? I mean, their defense has been doing the heaviest lifting. I mean, go back to the biggest win of the season, the way their defense played against the Bears, right? And I get it, Snoop Huntley played well in place of Lamar. It was a great story, but what that defense has looked like over the last 5 weeks compared to the first five, I mean, it's encouraging. So they're going to need more of that because to the point that we continue to make about the offense, is Lamar going to look healthy? Are they going to get any better on the offensive line? I mean, all right, I'll hear fans wanting to see Emory Jones at guard. Sure, why not? Give the kid a chance. Doesn't mean he's going to be ready. Doesn't mean he's going to be any better than Voorhees or Falele. Fans and media have clamored and asked about changes to the O-line all year, and we saw. It was very striking. If you're on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service, who was inactive on Sunday? Ben Cleveland. It shows the Ravens think so much of Ben Cleveland that he's closer to being off the team entirely than being a guy that can push Falele or Voorhees for a starting
It's
spot.
crazy. It
I mean,
really is,
it
right?
just speaks to it, right? So, and that's what we've talked about. Like, Look, I know John Harbaugh has had a perceived doghouse over the years with certain individuals, and there's no doubt that that's been a thing at times. That said, I don't think that Harbaugh and the rest of the offensive coaching staff are saying, yeah, we're going to continue to play anything less than what we think our best five is on the offensive line, right? I don't think that's how they're thinking here. I think they felt these are our best five and our backups aren't good enough. And maybe Emory Jones, but the kid missed the entire spring and the entire summer and the beginning of the season, right? I mean, he's a third round pick. This isn't Jonathan Ogden coming into play. This is someone who needed all that work. And now he's at a point where, okay, he's good enough to be active, but is he going to be good enough to supplant one of those guys? And I'm still skeptical about that. I'm not saying I wouldn't give him a chance if they feel it's warranted, but that doesn't mean he's going to be able to do the job either, right? So that's where I look at this thing and say, what is your ceiling on offense with your offensive line and what impact that could potentially have on your quarterback being less than 100% and continuing to look less than 100%? That's where it is tough. So you bring it back to the defense and say, can this be a special defense? I'm still not there yet, just yet, but this group is certainly way, way better than it was the first month of the season. I mean, that's a Captain Obvious statement. I mean, that their defense was horrendous even before the injuries started mounting. Where, it was Roquan and Marlon Humphrey and Hamilton missed the Texans game, and so they've come a long way. There's no doubt about that. It hasn't been the toughest slate of quarterbacks, but go back and look at the 2000 Ravens and get back to me at how tough their slate of quarterbacks was that season, right? When they were historically great and amazing and just this transcendent group. They also faced their share of Spurgeon wins over the course of that season. So you can only play the offenses that trot out there every Sunday. And yeah, the Ravens have benefited from their schedule getting softer after it was really tough the first 5 weeks of the season. So they've made progress. We're going to find out starting Thursday night. They're going to have maybe of one of the best five quarterbacks in the league back out on the field. Maybe. Again, is he going to look like peak Joe Burrow? I'm skeptical of that, but he's going to be out there potentially. And you're going to deal with Chase, who, like I said, I would assume is going to be
Well, that's
motivated.
three plays that could cost you 17 to 21 points,
Well,
right? Like literally that's how you get beat 27 to 24 on Thursday night is because they can make three or four plays. Literally, that's what's going to beat you. It's not going to be long slog and drives from the Bengals. And certainly from their defensive standpoint, making a play for them, stripping a ball, turnovers, sacking the quarterback, the kinds of things that they haven't been able to do all year long defensively, because the Ravens should be able to move the ball. Tyler Huntley should be able to move the ball against them Thursday night if he has to play.
should, but I would have said they should have been able to move the ball against the Jets on Sunday, and they didn't consistently. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, this is a division game. It's a big game. You've just moved into first place. You've got the tiebreaker at the moment for whatever that's worth, right? I mean, the playoffs aren't starting for another 6 weeks, right? So there's still a lot of football to be played, but you want to win another division game. You want to get into this mini bye. With a six straight win and you're 7-5, and then you're gearing up for the final stretch, and you say, okay, it's go time now. There's no more layups, because even then, Cincinnati on the road is, that's as we saw in Cleveland last week. You don't just assume that that's going to be a cakewalk. So there's plenty on the line Thursday night. But yeah, I mean, you look at this defense, and this will be a good test for them, right? The pass rush is looking better. I'm still not buying it being where you absolutely want and need it to be for January. I think that's still to be determined, but it's absolutely better. And Draymond Jones has been a great addition, and Alohi Gilman freeing up Hamilton to do the things that he's done. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, you see Hamilton blitz at the A gap. He lines up on the edge, right? He sets the edge as a run defender. He covers a slot receiver. He covers a tight end. I mean, he does everything, right? I mean, he's that special of a player. It's why from the moment that Ardarius Washington got hurt, who, by the way, looks like he could be close to practicing, which I think would be interesting. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to supplant anyone that's out there on the defense, but it's another good football player that could be in the mix. So who knows? But they're in a much more versatile, multiple dynamic position than they were in with their defense the first 5, 6 weeks of the season, with having lost Matt Ibike at the time. So,
And Roquan and Kyle
oh
Hamilton for a
yeah.
game,
Well,
right?
but I'm talking about knowing that Matt Ibike fundamentally that changed you because he was gone and not coming back. You knew Roquan was coming back. You knew Marlon Humphrey was coming back, right? It was just a matter of holding on for dear life as much as you could until you did get those guys back. So, but their defense has forced turnovers. As much as we can say, all right, well, these quarterbacks haven't been great. I mean, they're forcing turnovers. I mean, to your point, I mean, the Marlon Humphrey play, and give Marlon Humphrey credit. He hasn't had a great year. We know that. Even with, putting aside the injuries, he hasn't played at his
Helped
highest
them
level by
avoid an
any.
L on Sunday
But,
in when it needed to.
well, I mean, I don't know if it'll, I don't know if they lose that game if he doesn't do that, but it's a one score game. And then suddenly the doubt's creeping into your mind of, oh no, is this one of those fourth quarter collapses? If they go three and out here, all you need is Breece Hall to get loose again, which, by the way, he's a good player. Fumble aside, he's a good football player. I mean, Jets don't have many guys that you could say that about at the moment, but Breece Hall is a good football player. But that was a great play. I mean, and that's the kind of play that they have been making more of. And that's the wild card, right? Assuming, and I don't think anyone feels that this is like a historic defense, right? No one thinks this is the 2000 defense or the 03 defense or the 2006 defense or 2011. Go down and name your top 5 or 6 defenses in franchise history. I don't think anyone thinks that this group is in that category by any means, but they've improved in the areas that we've talked about with the acquisitions they've made, the tweaks they've made, the improvement they've gotten to get a second linebacker to emerge and Teddy Buchanan and Draymond Jones on the edge, all that. Mike Green, I thought, had a nice bounce back performance after a really quiet day against the Browns, last Sunday. So that was good to see. We've talked about Malachi Starks, and so young guys are on the come, and you've gotten most of your guys back healthy. I mean, Hamilton aside, I don't think Hamilton, like, I don't think this is a catastrophic, multi-week injury, even if he doesn't play Thursday night. But, at the same time, the difference here is, can they turn the ball over? Can they force takeaways? And they've been doing that over the last 5 weeks or so. I mean, that compared to the beginning of the season where they weren't doing it at all, that's big. You can. The Bears are a great example of this. You look at the Bears in terms of yardage and things of that nature, their defense has been bad when you look in terms of yards per play and things, but they force a ton of takeaways. I mean, they are a high variance defense that has still been able to help them win some football games because they've been able to turn over the opposition. So when you have a defense that can do that, that can cover up some warts. And we saw it even on Sunday. I mean, they had some not so great moments, or Tyrod Taylor stiff arming a linebacker. Not a great moment for Trenton Simpson in that spot. And they whiffed on some tackles. Breece Hall, and that could have been a different game. If they score there, but Marlon Humphrey comes up with a absolutely massive play, especially for him coming off of what a little over a week removed from finger surgery. For him to do that, I mean, that's credit to him. No doubt about that. So if you can make those kind of plays, then I like their chances more in December and January, even with the offense in Lamar being more of an unknown than you'd like it to be right now. We've talked about it a lot. Think of their playoffs, their playoff track record. As much as Lamar and Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers fumbling against Kansas City, and the offensive shortcomings have been the headliner, and their defense, by and large, has played well in those January games, go look at how many turnovers they've forced in those January games. Like, that hasn't been a part of what they've done at all in January. So can this team have a little more of that going for it as we get into December and then into January? If they can, then that's a formula for overcoming the fact that you don't have a dominant pass rusher. You don't have a Terrell Suggs in his prime, Peter Boulware, Michael McCrary in their prime kind of guy lining up at the edge, or you don't have that dynamic Nnamdi Matabike 13 sack capability at defensive tackle. But when you take the ball away, that's another way that you can overcome some of that. So I'm absolutely encouraged by what I've seen from their defense. I still want to see more as the competition ratchets up here, certainly, before I'm fully 100% convinced, but I'm certainly convinced it's a better defense than it was early in the year. I mean, the bar was in the basement at that point in time. So certainly it's gotten better, and you want to see it continue to grow and evolve, and you want to see the pass rush flash more frequently. It's flashing now. They had some moments where they did get after Tyrod Taylor, but they also had some moments, where Tyrod Taylor was untouched, had a 4 or 5 Mississippi and was able to make some
Dude, by the way,
completions.
I pull for Tyrod, whether I, you know,
Oh
I,
yeah.
yeah, I pull for Tyrod. I
I
do.
mean, he's,
I always like Tyrod.
when you talk about someone, he was a 6th round pick and barely played in Baltimore. I mean, go look at his numbers, his 4 years with the Ravens. Barely played at all. I mean, Joe was always healthy, and they didn't really blow, as much as younger Ravens fans are kind of spoiled with what the Ravens have been the last 6, 7 years in terms of blowing teams out as often as they do. The Ravens didn't do that in those years. So Tyrod was like this complete unknown when he left and, winds up in Buffalo and becomes a Pro Bowl, fringe
Well, the
Pro
San
Bowl
Diego
kind of.
Chargers screwed them all up, gave them that
Oh,
needle that they shouldn't have, medical
I
issues
mean,
are
that,
terrible.
that kind of, that was kind of the end of him being a starter, having a chance of being a starter on a regular basis. But he's hung around. The guy's in what, year 15, I guess it is, would be. I mean, that's a heck of a career for anyone, whether you barely play or not. If you played in the league 15 years, I mean, tip of the cap to you. And I even saw a video clip of, John Harbaugh embracing with him and catching up with him. And, it was cool to see. And hey, we already said it. And look, I don't say this to pile on about Lamar, but man, I mean, Tyrod Taylor outplayed Lamar. I mean, not in this emphatic, oh my gosh, kind of way, but, he looked more elusive, which, speaks to Lamar's health right now. But he showed that, for a backup quarterback, you can still do worse than Tyrod Taylor. But
Well, Tyrod's made $82 million playing quarterback in the
for
National
him,
Football
good for him. I mean,
League.
that's awesome. And again, who would have thought that even when he left as a free agent in post 2014? Because
You wouldn't think that for Tyler Huntley when he leaves that he's going to make $82 million. You know what I mean? Like, in a general sense of hanging around, Tyrod's been a really good, and didn't play poorly on site. Has nobody around him other than Breece Hall, right?
yeah, I mean, Mechie made a couple plays for him, but I mean, they're.
Tight end looks like he might be okay too, Taylor, right?
Yeah. I mean, the guy they're missing on offense, I mean, Garrett Wilson. I mean, that guy can play. I mean, he absolutely can, even with what their quarterback situation's been like since he's been there. I mean, with
Oh, my old
Rodgers
pal
being
Joe
hurt.
Douglas watching all of his draft picks,
So
you know.
yeah,
So.
but that's an offense that's lacking, and the defense played the way you wanted them to play on Sunday. Our love for Tyrod Taylor aside, that's still not a very good group. So the defense stepping up the way they did, they needed it. I mean, boy, they needed it with the way their offense played, especially in the first half. So, and look at that game. I mean, they gave him a short field with the 4th down stop on that second, on that opening drive that the Jets had in the third quarter, which was weird. I mean, they did some weird things. Some of their decision making was weird. I mean, some of their play calls, I mean, Tyrod had a couple points through the ball when his receiver wasn't even looking. I mean, like they did some very Jets things that helped the Ravens along the way. But again, hats off to this defense. They continue to play at a much, much higher level. Now it does get tougher for that group because they are going to be playing some better offenses here. Pittsburgh, that's not a great offense, but Cincinnati can score points and New England can score points, and they're going to go on the road to Green Bay in a tough environment. So, we're going to see how this looks. We're going to see how much of this improvement is just, hey, you're better, and how much of this is, hey, this is something that plays really, really well come January. We're going to find out, because they're certainly going to be playing some much tougher quarterbacks than Tyrod Taylor and JJ McCarthy and Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, and go down the list of the guys that they've played here of late.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. We together are going to be watching turkey and watching football and hanging with family and doing all that stuff. The turkey trot with the Y is on Thursday. I want to encourage everyone. There's one right near you, wherever you are, Harford County, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore City. I'm going to be in Towson on Thursday morning and come out and do it for a good cause. Come out and get some exercise. It'll be a little chilly on Thursday morning, but I think we're gonna make it through here. Get yourself some pumpkin pie, some turkey in the oven, and warm up for Thursday night, Cincinnati Bengals in town, our old pal Joe Flacco in, Joe Burrow, and national television, and a chance to go to 7-5, and a chance to take the weekend off and watch some football and put our feet up and hang out and do Black Friday shopping and do all the things that we do here. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is out on the road. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. We're going to be at We're going to go back to our friends down in Canton and DePasquale's. We're going to be back down at the Italian Deli on the 11th for Christmas. We're going to be at Fadley's the week of Christmas. We're also going to be at Costas in Dundalk. So stay tuned for all of that. It's brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Also, my thanks to my friends at GBMC for getting me through my colonoscopy. Public service announcement for everybody out there. The stuff doesn't taste as bad as they made it out to be. Like, I was fearing the drink on Thursday night and the circumstances more. All of that kind of went okay, and then they told me like they removed the precancerous polyp. So like, cancer, me, never thought about it in my life. I'm 57 years old. Thankfully today, knock on wood, I'm not thinking about it. But my thanks to everybody, Dr. Ascari, everybody on the GBMC team for being so awesome to me. I'll be bragging about that and shaming all of you, including you, Luke. Even though you're not 45, I'm going to start to shame you now. So that the minute you're 45, you go and do it. But if you've got a history in your family as well, make sure you're doing that. But I don't have any of that, and I'm good, and I'm back to eating all the stuff that I like to eat, including going to Pizza John's. Luke's got me hungry, wearing that Pizza John's hat. Now I want a cheesesteak with double provolone. So I'm back to eating a lot, and it's Thanksgiving week. It's a week to eat. Love everybody and your family. Get together, and my wife's going to be with her family. I'm going to be here hanging out with the Turkey Trot and the Y folks, and we're going to be waiting on football Thursday night. First place Ravens. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNSD AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive and Oriole maneuverings, if there are such a thing.